Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Enel Américas nine months 2019 results conference call. My name is Gigi, and I will be your operator for today. After the speaker's presentation, there will be a question and answer session. During this conference call, we may make statements that constitute forward-looking statements within the meaning of the Private Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1995. These statements could include statements regarding the intent, belief, or current expectations of Enel Américas and its management with respect to, among other things, Enel Américas business plans, Enel Américas cost reduction plans, trends affecting Enel Américas financial condition or results of operations, including market trends in the electricity sector in Chile or elsewhere, supervision and regulation of the electricity sector in Chile or elsewhere, and the future effect of any changes in the laws and regulations applicable to Enel Américas or its affiliates. Such forward-looking statements reflect only our current expectations, are not guarantees of future performance, and involve risks and uncertainties. Actual results may differ materially from those anticipated in the forward-looking statements as a result of various factors. These factors include a decline in the equity capital markets of the United States or Chile, an increase in the market rates of interest in the United States or elsewhere, adverse decisions by government regulators in Chile or elsewhere, and other factors described in Enel Américas annual report on Form 20-F, including under Risk Factors. You may access our 20-F on the SEC's website, www.sec.gov. Readers are cautioned not to place undue reliance on these forward-looking statements, which speak only as of their dates. Enel Américas undertakes no obligation to update these forward-looking statements or to disclose any development as a result of this, which these forward-looking statements become inaccurate. I would now like to turn the presentation over to Mr. Rafael de la Haza, Enel Américas Head of Investor Relations. Please proceed.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon, buenas tardes, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to our nine months 2019 results presentation. I'm Rafael de la Haza, Head of Investor Relations, and here with me is Aurelio Bustilho, CFO of the company. Let me remind you that this presentation will follow the slides that have been already uploaded into the company's website. Following the presentation, we will have the usual Q&A session. Now let me hand over the call to Aurelio, who will start by outlining the main highlights of the period in slide number two.
Thank you, Rafael. Good afternoon, everybody. Let me begin this presentation by highlighting the successful capital increase that our company concluded on late August. This was the largest capital increase in cash in the history of the Chilean market, and thanks to our shareholders, we were able to have 99.5% of subscription, reaching more than $3 billion that will allow us to continue with our growth strategy and adding value to all our shareholders. I would like to thank you, all our shareholders, for the strong confidence on our strategy. Let's now focus now on our results for the first nine months of 2019. Enel Américas EBITDA for this period reached $2,972 million, an increase of 25% compared to the same period of 2018, despite the company devaluation in four countries where we operate, especially in Argentina and Brazil. Without the negative effects impact, EBITDA would have increased by 41%. During this period, we were able to reduce our OpEx by $35 million, and this reduction is mainly explained by efficiencies in Brazil and Argentina. Total net income increased by 42%, while group net income increased by 60%, reaching $822 million. This is explained by better operational result, partially offset by higher financial expenses in connection with the purchase of Enel São Paulo. We continue our focus on sustainability, reflected in the fact that we are the only South American utility group included in three different categories of the Dow Jones Sustainability Index. Let's now take a look at our CapEx for the period in the next slide. Total gross CapEx for the period amounted to $1,078 million, an increase of 0.8% compared to the same period of last year. Without considering effects, our investments increased by 16% due to a perimeter effect. CapEx is well balanced between asset management, asset development, and customers, with 38%, 31%, 30% respectively. Distribution, a low-carbon service, capture most of our CapEx, with an 89% share in line with our growth strategy. With distribution business, we have to mention that effect of consolidation of São Paulo in Brazil, which represents 17% of our total distribution CapEx. From a geographical point of view, 51% of the investments are devoted to our subsidiaries in Brazil. Now, let's analyze the main operating indicators by business line on the following slide. On generation business, our net production reaches a 31.4 terawatt hour, an increase of 3% compared to the same period in 2018. From the total generation, 61% corresponds to hydro generation, which increased by 1 terawatt hour, mainly due to higher generation in Cachoeira Dourada, Volta Grande, and our hydro plants in Colombia. Our energy sales increased by 12%, reaching 54.4 terawatt hours. This is explained by the above-mentioned increase in energy production, but also the energy purchase contracts in Brazil that allow us to improve our margins. Let's analyze the distribution business in the next slide. Distributed energy increased by 26%, reaching almost 90 terawatt hour, which 32 terawatt hour are explained by Enel São Paulo. In homogeneous terms, our energy sales remain at substantially flat compared to last year. Regarding number of end users, we have an increase of about 86,000, despite the client reclassification process that we are doing in Brazil and Argentina. I would like to mention that at the beginning of July, we concluded the tariff reset processing in São Paulo, and we expect to have the new tariff scheme in Colombia in place during the next coming months. After that, we do not have any tariff reset process until 2022. On the following slides, we'll see the performance of Enelix and retail business. Enelix business, you can see that regarding ECD, public lighting points remain at almost flat, reaching 401,000 points public lighting. We had an important growth of 146% in photovoltaic and storage business in industry. Regarding e-home, we had a significant increase in the transactions of third-party billing and collection services, while the level of contracts of microinsurance was slightly lower. Finally, in e-mobility, the number of charging stations increased from 10 to 185, especially in Argentina and Colombia. Regarding energy free market business, the number of delivery points increased by 16%, reaching 2,713 delivering points, and energy sold amounted to 12.3 terawatt hour, 6% lower than last year. Looking at our gas free market business, the number of delivery points increased by 10% and gas sold increased by 49%, reaching an amount of 0.8 terawatt hour. The competitive advantage of Enel Americas, due to its presence in major urban areas of the different countries in which the company operates, will offer the possibility to rapidly expand these businesses. Let's have a focus now on our efficiencies part of the period in next slide. Starting from $1,128 million of OPEX reported on September last year, we have to add the OPEX of the first 5 months of 2018 of Enel São Paulo in order to properly see the differences and the efficiencies gained in the period. This way, we get in, to a pro forma OPEX of $1,353 million for 9 months in 2018. And from this amount, we obtained efficiencies for $35 million, mainly due to lower OPEX in São Paulo and lower personal expenses in Argentina. In addition to this, we see a reduction of $10 million explained by FX, reaching a final OPEX of $1,307 million, which represents a reduction of 3%. On the following slide, we'll make a focus on sustainability. Sustainability is a key driver for creating long-term value among our shareholders and all our stakeholders. In this way, our strategy integrates our commitments to United Nations Sustainable Development Goals, recognizing the synergy between social progress and corporate success. Enel Group promotes economic development in the communities where we operate, taking actions to promote shared value creation and with this, all of these communities with that we operate. Along these lines, the number of beneficiaries have increased since 2015, totalizing 4.5 million of beneficiaries on SDG 4, 7, and 8. On SDG 7, important to mention the increase due to the acquisition of Enel São Paulo. Enel Americas has also contributed to SDG 9 and 11 related to build a sustainable industry, infrastructure, and cities. In this way, Enel Americas relies on its low carbon value added products and services, where the smart meters and Enelix business are relevant to the development of urban areas. In addition, in order to prevent security incidents, we cover all our web applications exposed to internet with advanced cybersecurity solutions. Enel Americas has contributed to fight against climate change by generating a 56% of its energy with hydro assets during this period. Our inclusion in three categories of Dow Jones Sustainability Index for the second consecutive year is a recognition of our commitment towards developing a sustainable business model, leading the energy transition and promoting responsible business practices. Let's move to financial summary for the period in next slide. EBITDA for the period reached $2.97 billion, a 25% increase compared to the same period last year. Once we exclude the extraordinary effect of positive effects for the resolution of pending regulatory issues in Argentina, EBITDA increased by 16% to $2.75 billion. Group net income came in at $822 million, 60% higher versus last year, explained by better EBITDA, partially offset by the increase in financial expenses, mainly in Enel São Paulo. FFO stood at $861 million, 21% lower versus last year, starting from an increase in EBITDA. And this lower result is offset by a negative impact in net working capital, explaining by two main sources: the rebound of net working capital actions taken in 2018, mainly in Brazil. This effect will be almost compensated by the end of 2019 with the new actions. And the non-cash impact of regulatory actions, asset resolution in Argentina. Group net debt reached $4.5 billion, 32% lower versus the end of 2018, mainly explained by the payment of the debts in Enel Brazil in connection with the purchase of Eletropaulo, which was paid with the proceeds coming from the capital increase recently concluded. Let's take a look at the main global business line drivers for EBITDA on slide 10. In this slide, you can see a performance summary of our businesses. It is worth highlighting that hydro and networks accounted for 79% of overall EBITDA after the consolidation of Aliança São Paulo, confirming the well-balanced risk-return profile of our business model. It is also worth to mention the great performance in our retail business, reaching an EBITDA increase of 107% versus the same period of 2018. Therefore, the low-carbon EBITDA reached to 87%. EBITDA is conformed by renewable this generation, distribution, retail, and analytics, and not including the thermal generation and trading. Finally, our thermal generation business increased by 29%, mainly due to better results in Costanera and Fortaleza. Going in detail on different countries, let's move to Argentina on slide 11. EBITDA in Argentina increased by 83%, or $195 million, reaching $431 million. In operation terms, EBITDA increased by $341 million, partially offset by a negative effects impact of $146 million. This important increase in EBITDA is mainly explained by the positive effect coming from the agreement reached with the government in connection with the past liabilities, which entailed a positive impact of $213 million at EBITDA level. In generation business, EBITDA increased by 44%, reaching $161 million. Without considering effect, EBITDA would have increased by $96 million, or 86%. This is mainly explained by the higher margins as payments in generation are dollarized, partially offset by the lower physical sales due to lower demand. In distribution business, EBITDA increased by 118%, or $147 million, mainly explained for the already mentioned one-off effect, regulatory effect. Demand in our concession area was 6% lower compared to last year, while the number of clients slightly decreased due to a reclassification process on our customer base. It is important to mention that some weeks ago, the government announced that the tariff increase that we were supposed to have on August this year was postponed to January 2020, where we are going to see an increase of 19% in tariff. Additionally, the amounts that we are not collecting during these months due to the mentioned delay will be recovered in 7 installments starting on January next year. CapEx increased by 62% compared to last year, on the other hand, mainly as a consequence of investments made in the distribution business due to the quality plan in Edesur and to improve the reliability of the grids in our concession area. Let's continue with Brazil in the following slide. In Brazil, overall EBITDA is in the period increased by 48% of $385 million, including $96 million negative impact coming from effects. EBITDA is in generation business increased by 35% or $64 million, which is explained by better results in Fortaleza as a result of a federal tax adjustment covering from 2023 and 2018. Our EBITDA in distribution business increased by 49% or $323 million, mainly explained by the consolidation of Enel São Paulo. We also had better results in Enel Rio and Enel Goiás, partially offset by a decrease in Enel Ceará. I would like to highlight that after the tariff review that we had in Enel São Paulo on July, we do not have any new tariff revision process on our distribution companies in Brazil until 2023. This means that the new WACC that is under discussion these days by ANEEL will not apply to our distribution companies and will remain with the 12.3% real pre-tax WACC until the next tariff review period. CAPEX in Brazil decreased by 7% compared to last year, reaching $549 million, mainly explained by reduction in Enel Ceará and Enel Rio due to higher investment last year related to tariff review process concluded in 2018 and 2019, partially offset by an increase in Enel São Paulo. Let's move to Colombia on the following page, the following slides. EBITDA in Colombia increased by $18 million or 1% compared to last year, despite a negative impact of $117 million due to currency devaluation. Without effects, impact EBITDA would have increased by 13%. In generation business, EBITDA decreased by $7 million or minus 1%. But in operation terms, we had an increase of 11%, mainly due to higher sales revenue as a consequence of higher prices and due to higher production, generation production. This was offset by a negative effects impact of $68 million. In distribution business, EBITDA increased by 4% or $15 million, mainly explained by higher demand and higher tariffs. This was partially offset by effects impact of minus $47 million. It's important to highlight that distribution business results also includes the contribution of NLX, which in Colombia showed an important increase in public lighting, insurance services, and electric infrastructure projects to big clients. CapEx in Colombia decreased by 2% due to negative effects impact. In local currency, the CapEx increased in 80% compared to last year. Now let's analyze Peru on slide number 14. EBITDA in Peru increased by 3% or $12 million, reaching $411 million in this period. Generation business, EBITDA decreased by 6% or $17 million, from which $4 million were explained by a negative effects impact. The decrease is mainly due to the positive one-off effects that we registered last year in connection with the insurance compensation due to El Nino Costero flood. This is partially offset by higher energy sales and higher average sale price. In distribution business, EBITDA reached $196 million, $31 million or 18% higher than last year. Sales increased by 2.8% compared to last year, and average sale price was also higher. The number of clients increased by 14,000. Total capex decreased by 7% compared to 2018. Let me now comment our financial performance on the following slides. Starting from $2,972 million EBITDA, the company registered depreciation and amortization for an amount of $811 million, 22% higher than last year, mainly as a result of the consolidation of Enel São Paulo reached an EBIT of $2,160 million. Net financial results amounted to minus $327 million, which represents a higher cost of $37 million. This is mainly due to higher financial expenses in Enel Brazil related to the financial expenses come from the purchase of Eletropaulo. Income tax registered in the period was $613 million, $48 million higher than last year. Effective tax rate during the period decreased from 39% to 33%, mainly due to reduction in income corporate tax in Colombia. Total net income amounted to $1,221 million, while attributable net income reached $822 million, a 60.3% increase compared to the previous year results. With all these elements, let's analyze the cash flow in the slide number 16. FFO, or funds from operations, amounted to $861 million. Starting from an EBITDA of $2,972 million, This result includes a negative net working capital in the period for an amount of $1,168 million due to a rebound of net working capital actions taken in 2018, mainly in Brazil and in Colombia. And these effects will be almost totally compensated by the end of 2018 with the new actions. In addition, we had a non-cash impact due to regulatory asset resolution in Argentina. Taxes paid during the period amounted to $496 million, without any relevant deviation, despite the higher earnings before tax. Net financial expense amounted to $447 million, higher than previous year, in 63.1%, mainly due to the debts of the new perimeter in São Paulo, and debt related to the acquisition of Eletropaulo, now Enel São Paulo. Net cash flow amounted to minus $861 million during the period after investing $1,078 million in maintenance and growth capex, as indicated in the previous slide. Dividends paid by the company amounted to $644 million to the period, no, the dividends paid. Extraordinary operations amounted to $3,041, mainly as a consequence of the capital increase concluded in August. With all these effects, total net debt decreases to $2.15 billion compared with December in 2018. Let me now analyze the debts of our company in the following slides. Gross debt amounted to $6.28 billion, a decrease of $2,435 million versus December 2018. This reduction is mainly explained by the payments of debts of Enel Brasil in connection with the purchase of Eletropaulo. This debt, which amounted to $2.5 billion, was paid in August the 2nd with the proceeds of the capital increase. From the operational perspective, it is important to mention a decrease in the debts of Enresa, offset by an increase in Enel Goiás, Enel São Paulo, Enel Rio, and Codensa. In terms of currency, despite the reduction of Enel Brasil's debts, half of our debt is still in Brazilian reais, and also half of it is located in Brazil, as you can see in the right side chart. The cost of debt remained flat versus December 2018. Let me now continue with the focus in our last two acquisitions in Brazilian distribution business as we are doing every quarter. Starting with Enel São Paulo, we are very satisfied with the performance of the company. EBITDA reached $438 million at Enel America's level. If we compare the numbers in reais and Brazilian GAAP, we see that EBITDA increased by 78%, mainly due to OPEX reduction and also higher tariff due to the tariff revision process concluded on July of this year. At net income level, we had a positive result of 546 million reais, while last year the company reported a loss of 158 million reais in Brazilian GAAP. This improvement is explained by a better operational result and a better financial result due to its liability management. Gross capex reached $650 million, and it was mainly allocated to digitalize and modernize the distribution network. OPEX decreased by 14.4% as a result of the deepening of the integration and optimization process of Enel São Paulo in Enel Americas Group, which started on July last year and has allowed to reduce the operational costs. That profile has improved compared to the previous year thanks to a good liability management paid by the company. Regarding the operational performance, distributed energy slight increase with respect to last year, and energy losses decreased from 9.57% to 9.56%, and we can see the quality indicators, SAIDI and SAIFI, the duration and the frequency, have improved on a significant manner, reducing by 6% and 11% respectively as a result of the investment in the company's distribution network. We are very confident that we'll continue adding value in line to what we announced on our strategic plan. Another interesting news, I want to tell you about the launch of Urban Futurability Project in Villa Olimpia in São Paulo, a successful project that consists in an innovative laboratory that research and implements smart meters and smart grids, contributing to a sustainable infrastructure through digitalization, reduction of CO2 emissions, between other initiatives to the good development of cities. Now, on the next slide, let me highlight the performance of Enel Goiás during this period. Enel Goiás improved its EBITDA by 4.3% compared to the same period of last year, despite the negative effects impact of minus $15 million. Without this negative effect, EBITDA would have increased by 17%. Net income decreased by 8.5%, explained by higher taxes paid, as last year we had the tax benefit due to the previous year losses. Cost of debt was reduced by 0.9 percentage points thanks to a good liability management. The company added more than 86,000 clients during the last 12 months, and its energy distributed was higher than first half of last year, increasing by 3.3%, and energy losses were flat compared to the remaining 12.1%. Regarding quality indicators, we see a solid decrease in SAIDI and SAIFI, which is explained by our strong CAPEX plan focusing infrastructure and networks. Both indicators was reduced by 28% and 29%, respectively. Finally, let me comment that recently we signed an agreement with the state of Goiás, ANEEL, and other institutions, in which we agreed, among other things, to increase 26% of energy availability in 2020, to build 17 new substations until 2022, and to accelerate our CAPEX plan to improve even more the reliability and our quality indicators. Now, on the following slide, I would like to present a summary of the capital increase. On August 29, we concluded our capital increase that was announced on February 27. After 6 months of hard work, we met more than 300 shareholders and made several presentations to explain the purpose of these operations. And we are very satisfied to see that at the end we had 99.5% of subscription level, and basically all our shareholders joined us on this growth path. After this operation, our share price has significantly increased, reflecting the value added to the company, and we became the largest selling company in terms of market cap in today's IPSA. Now, we expect to continue adding value to our shareholders and boost our growth strategy in a sustainable way. Let me conclude this presentation with some closing remarks in the following slides. Despite the significant currency devaluation we have seen in the region, we were able to have a very positive results in its period thanks to a better operational performance, the contribution of São Paulo, and the impact of past liability resolution in Argentina. All tariff resets processes were concluded, except for Codensa, which should be completed in the coming months. We do not have any tariff reset process until 2022. The capital increase was successfully completed with 99.5% subscription and slightly more than $3 billion collected. This shows the confidence that our shareholders have on our company and paves the way for continue with our growth strategy. Finally, our company was confirmed in three categories of Dow Jones Sustainability Index, being the only South America utility group that has this important recognition in three segments, in three categories of Dow Jones Sustainability Index. let me hand over to Rafael.
Well, thank you, Aurelio. Thank you very much for your attention. And I'll pass the call to the operator for the Q&A session. Operator, please proceed.
As a reminder, to ask a question, you will need to press star 1 on your telephone. To withdraw your question, press the pound key. Please stand by while we compile the Q&A roster. And our first question is from Javier Suarez from Mediobanca. Your line is now open.
Hi, good morning to everyone. It's Javier Suarez at Mediobanca. Three questions on my side. And the first one is on the net working capital on slide number 16. This negative net working capital of 1.1 billion euros, if you can help us to understand why that negative impact should be reabsorbed by the year end. If I understood properly the explanation, the thing that you are expecting is that number should be close to zero by the year end. Is that correct? And if you can explain us the dynamics explaining that reduction of that net working capital negative effect to zero by the year end. That would be the first question. The second question is on the EBITDA growth in slide number 9. The company has indicated that stripping out the one-off coming from Argentina, the adjusted EBITDA growth could be plus 16%. If you can help us to understand the adjusted EBITDA growth, stripping out the changes in perimeter, and referring mainly to Electropaulo, if you are able to help us to understand the underlying EBITDA growth, excluding not only one-off but also perimeter effects. And then the final question, I know that it's maybe still early days, but do you have any comment on the possible impact that the new administration in Argentina may have on the company? Many thanks.
Okay, thank you, Javier. Well, for the first question regarding the net working capital, there is an important effect in the 9 months that we had in this period, which is in, first of all, in Brazil, right? Regarding the CVA effect, we accumulated a strong effect in the let's say CVA. We call the regulatory asset in Brazil for distribution companies, in order to the distribution companies purchase energy with expensive, let's say, higher price than the companies has in its tariff. So we accumulated a higher net working capital, and we expect, especially in São Paulo, from the tariff reset in São Paulo that we are started in July, we are recovering this effect until December, but until June of next year. So this is one important effect that we are moving, let's say, in a good way, in order we are now recovering more working capital than we are paying. The other effect is related to some payments that we focus in the tariff reset of the company. So we focus in order to improve the RAB of the assets, especially in Brazil. We had most of payments of these assets we paid in the beginning of next year. So since we do not have these effects for the next year, we don't have tariff resets for next year, we will not have the same impact. And third, the impact we are renegotiating and doing a better, let's say, accounts payable payment terms to our suppliers in order to compensate. So these three effects together can compensate the effects, right? The second question is related to the EBITDA without the one-off effects of the regulatory assets in Argentina, which was $200 million more or less, and without Eletropaulo, if I do an homogenization, in Eletropaulo. So the effect, the EBITDA would be $2.3 billion, okay, compared to $2.2 billion. So the effect without all this one off is 3% more or less, okay. And the third question,
results of the Argentina.
And Argentina, it's too early to understand what will happen. Of course, we are confident that Argentina will, despite the political, let's say, changes, but Argentina will follow, in our opinion, a good way. We still expect our returns in Argentina. Of course, it's too early to answer. It's a wait and see situation, huh? And I think in the following months we'll have more information to give you more information about what will be the plans and what will be the structure. But again, as we also said, Argentina for us is a neutral cash flow. Argentina, we don't have debt in Argentina, so we will maintain this policy to a neutral cash flow impact for the country.
Okay, many thanks.
Thank you. Our next question is from Ezequiel Fernandez from Credicorp. Your line is now open.
Hi, good day. Thank you for the questions and the Q&A and the materials. I have three questions. I would like to go one by one, if you don't mind. The first one is related to Eletropaulo. EBITDA is up very significantly to 1.6 billion reais from during the first 9 months of this year versus the 900 million last year. There seems to be very good progress on Parcela B, the manageable OPEX, so congratulations on that one. But also, the Eletropaulo press release mentioned on Parcela A, 630 million reais lower OPEX due to lower hydro risk. If you could comment a little bit on that, what it is, and also I understand that Parcela A issues should not structurally affect EBITDA, so maybe it would be helpful to know what do you expect for 2020 EBITDA in Enel Distribución São Paulo.
Well, Ezequiel, thank you for your question. Eletropaulo, as you mentioned, the new tariff reset, very important. We got a higher RAB. This is very important. We got 80.5 billion reais. The plan, we consider 80.1, so this is very, very good for our economic results. And we reduced the OPEX. We are advancing this mission plan with the company, changing, putting more innovation, more let's say remote operation of the grid, and reduction the volume of people managing the grid, but putting more innovation. So this is very important factor. The last one that you mentioned, the CVA, the asset, the regulatory asset, is exactly what I was explaining regarding the hydro risk. So Eletropaulo anticipated the cash flow to recover in the next tariff reset. Why we had this difference in the EBITDA? You are right. This the regulatory asset is supposed to not affect EBITDA, but in the case of São Paulo, you have to consider that São Paulo did not sign the agreement with ANEEL. So São Paulo has still has the demand effect in some financial items with the CVA. It's a very technical issue, but if you see the details of the tariff reset, you see that the amount accumulated that we anticipated and also reflecting the EBITDA was higher, let's say, more costs than it should be at the end of the day. So we will have a big impact in the cash flow recovering the CVA and some positive impact with this adjustment of the CVA regarding the tariff reset.
Okay, great. I think I understand what you say about the technical agreement with NL, but I will follow up with Rafael afterwards to make sure. My second question is related to Colombia. You mentioned that you expect a decision in the upcoming months. I wanted to know if you have any regulatory asset base expectation, the value of it, and if you could give us an idea of what is the issue now that is preventing the CREG from making a final ruling on this, if there is any point of contention that is particularly hard to resolve.
Okay. Well, in our view, Ezequiel is a more procedural or operating issue with the regulator. In our opinion, they are doing a very good work in considering the asset. Because, as you know, Colombia is moving to a revenue cap, so they are analyzing the real investment of the company. So it's a very important work to be done. They asked us some information regarding this. We already send this information to them. It's a matter of time. And as you can see, the law or the normative said that the tariff reset will be retroactive to April. So it's a matter of, in our opinion, of month. I think until the end of the year we'll have it. There's no big discussions regarding this. In terms of RAB, it's not publicly because we don't have a number yet published, but we are maintaining the amount that we consider in our strategic plan. There's no big changes we are maintaining, which is that the RAB is the amount is the strategic plan of the company.
That's great. Thank you very much. And my last question is related to Peru. If you could give us any update on how the regulatory discussions regarding the declaration of gas prices for dispatch is going.
Well, for us, in terms of generation, we don't see relevant impact on this. We are, in our estimation, the dispatch considered a lower price, and we are in our plan. We are very conservative. For us, we don't see major impacts in this new regulation for Peru.
That's great. That's all from my side. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question, please press the star, then the number one key on your touch tone telephone. And our next question is from Charles Fishman from Morningstar Research. Your line is now open.
Thank you. On slide 30, the energy losses are certainly high. At, you know, on your distribution companies in Brazil and Argentina. And I know you're aware of that. I know you're working on it. But if you're focused on that, if you improve that, because your tariff reviews are out several years, any improvement in those efficiencies you retain, don't you? You don't have there's no ability for the regulator to come back and ask for those before the 2023 tariff reviews. Is that correct?
Yes. You are right. The issue here is to focus in the improvement of the losses, in the recovery of the losses. You are right that in Colombia, in Argentina and in Brazil, especially Brazil, we are talking about Rio, okay? Rio and Edesur. This was the main impact in losses. The losses increased. Our focus is to we are reshaping our investment plan in order to recover these losses. But until the next tariff resets, especially in both countries, but because in Argentina the next tariff reset is in 2022, right? So until 2022, there is no, regulatory actions regarding the losses. So our plan is to do a shift in our CapEx plan in order to reduce losses in the areas that we operate.
Okay. And then a similar question on slide 11, you're seeing customer losses in Argentina. It was 2% for the first 9 months. I'm assuming that is it's a similar perimeter. In other words, that is a like-to-like comparison, and the issue there is the macroeconomic situation on Argentina?
Yes, yes. This is related to the macroeconomic situation. There is an increase in areas with low income areas, right? But we are reshaping, as I told you, the way we measure the grid in these areas in order to recover this reduction. Mm-hmm. As you can see, the demand also reduces in Argentina. So both effects are related to the economic situation. Well, part of it also with the climate, but the major part is related to the economic situation.
Okay, thank you. And then my last is really a comment, just your last point on slide 2 about being named to the three categories of the Dow Jones Sustainability Index. Congratulations on that. That's something I know you must be very proud of. And that's it.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Sorry, if again, you're already connected.
Thank you. Thank you.
No, just to answer one question, because we didn't answer, the RAB of Enel, Enel Codensa in Argentina is $2.7 billion, okay? And we expect to remain in this amount, okay? Sorry to interrupt you.
Thank you. Our next question is from Ezequiel Fernandez from Credit Corp. Your line is now open.
Thank you for the good answer, Rob. I'm sorry to take up a little bit more of your time. I just have a final question related to the pension plan in Eletropaulo, if you have any updates on that, if you're still thinking about doing something about it.
Thank you. Thank you, Ezequiel. This is another part of the capital raise, the use of proceeds to the pension fund. We already submitted to the regulator authorities of pension fund in Brazil, which is Previc. In 26th of August, we presented the request. I don't know if you remember, we got an approval from the unions, the trade unions, an approval from the retirees association, and also with the foundation. Then we send to the regulator all the process, the migration plan, and they are analyzing. We don't have information of this process. We expect from 5 to 6 months from them to approve it. In parallel, we are building a strong communication plan. We cannot start it right now because we cannot communicate to, as you know, it's a negotiation one-to-one. It's a 17,000 people. But we are preparing a strong communication and negotiation plan. We expect after this process of the approval, we don't see major issues. We start this process. In our estimation, we expect next year with the major part of the pension fund solved, which you know the plan is to de-risk the plan. Okay.
Okay, that's perfect. Thank you very much.
Thank you. At this time, I am showing no further questions. I would like to turn the call back over to Aurelio Bastilo for closing remarks.
As there are no more questions, I conclude the results conference call. And let me remind you that the investor relation team is available for any doubts that you want to explore, that you may have, and we are very happy to answer you with our investor relations team. Thank you for all your attention.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes today's conference call. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.